This will be our last presentation. And thank you to all of our panelists who have been discussing some great, great topics. So our next panelist is Sapna Darkar-Serber. I hope I said that correctly.
You were close.
Okay, can you say that?
Sure, it's Sapna Darkar-Serber.
Sapna Darkar-Serber. Great. And she's going to talk to us about Dulce Mothers. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I know, I don't know what time it is, but I'm guessing we're close to the end of our session. But So Dulce Mothers, Dulce Madres was our art program, and this was a pilot project. I'm going to talk a little bit of background about where this came from. Scripps Whittier Diabetes Institute is part of Scripps Health, and it's part of Project Dulce, which is a diabetes chronic care disease management program that we offer. So there's a clinical component where we have medical teams in community clinics. That's a nurse, an RNCDE, a dietitian, and medical assistant, and a promotora that manage the diabetic patients at community clinics. So the clinical components are done by our medical team, and then the promotoras do health education classes, offer support groups within the communities and the clinics. So Dulce Madres, so that's why we tagged onto the Project Dulce piece of it, was an NIH ERA grant looking at women who have a history of gestational diabetes looking to prevent the early onset of type 2 diabetes. I have no financial relationships to disclose. So today I'm just going to talk about what is the Dulce Mothers program, talk about our promotoras and their role within this program, and then talk about the relationship between type 2 diabetes, Latina women, and the project itself. Some general background on diabetes. So the incidence obviously is doubled in less than 10 years. The actual numbers of people, if current trends continue, is going to double in less than 20 years. Many of you are familiar with the statistic of 1 in 3 kids born today will develop diabetes. In African American and Latino children, this is 1 in 2. San Diego County has some of the highest prevalence of diabetes in the country with very high rates of obesity. Along with that, one of the other risk factors for developing type 2 is gestational diabetes. So there haven't been too many determinations of why some women get diabetes during pregnancy, and it's usually gone as soon as they deliver. But those women have up to a 50% chance of developing type 2 within 5 years. So you have a very young population developing a lifelong chronic disease. So especially in Latina women, this is a very high risk. So it's also been, GDM has also been associated with high risk of cardiovascular disease, hypertension, dyslipidemia, central obesity, and insulin resistance. And so in looking at all these risk factors, this is clearly a high risk group for developing type 2 diabetes. The Diabetes Prevention Program was a national study done a number of years ago looking at over 3,000 patients also at risk for developing diabetes. And they were randomized to one of three arms, a placebo, a lifestyle intervention, and then metformin. So they were given a drug that's frequently prescribed to pre-diabetics to prevent early onset and kind of manage their diabetes through a drug intervention. And what they found from this study was basically the lifestyle intervention was far more effective at preventing diabetes with doing 150 minutes of physical activity a week, as well as losing 7% of their body weight. So looking at this intervention has great potential to really have a widespread impact on reducing the risk of diabetes. The thing about the DPP was that it was a 16-week intervention, one-on-one, personal trainers, very, very intensive, very costly. And so we looked at adapting that curriculum for a Latina population and making it a little bit more community and cost-friendly. So this was a single-group pre-post design study, and the participants were, assessments were done at baseline, and then immediately following the intervention, which was an 8-week education class, and then at 6 months following enrollment to look at maintenance. So we did some psychosocial surveys, looked at height, weight, blood pressure, clinical markers such as the lipid panel, A1C, glucose, and insulin. The promotoras were the ones who taught this curriculum in Spanish. The classes, again, were based on the diabetes prevention program, so we looked at nutrition education, weight loss, physical activity, stress management, benefits of breastfeeding, the correlation between having GDM and type 2 diabetes, and also family care, so how having diabetes or having a disposition to have diabetes affects not just the women, but also their children and their families. Our study population was, of course, Latina women, 18 to 45 years old, a history of GDM within the past 3 years. They could not currently be diagnosed with diabetes. They could not be pregnant. And we partnered with a community clinic in Escondido, which is about 35 miles northeast of central San Diego. This is a predominantly Hispanic community, a lot of farms in the area, so it's a big migrant population. Our promotoras did all of the recruitment. We developed flyers. We had referrals from providers, so we worked a lot with the prenatal and the pediatric clinics to get work with the midwives and the OBs, pediatricians. They worked with the dental clinics, the general medical clinics. They went out to everywhere in the community. We also worked with the clinic itself to do a data query of basically a list of patients who had gestational diabetes within the last 3 years. And as our classes got going, a lot of it was word of mouth. They would refer their friends, their sister-in-laws, their neighbors. One of the other pieces that was a big recruitment tool was we offered childcare during the classes. So we had a babysitter provided for the that did kids' activities so the women could come to class with their kids and have the kids slightly distracted so they could pay attention to the classes. So our promotoras, again, taught all of the classes. They were all done in Spanish. We did have the curriculum in English, but no takers on that. They recruited the participants, did reminder calls before the classes, follow-up calls after the classes if they didn't attend, and really established a great rapport with all of them. Did a lot of the troubleshooting with why they couldn't come, if it was transportation issues, immigration was a big concern, childcare issues. So just a brief description. Again, because this was a pilot study and it's actually, this was just a preliminary piece of it. We did this after, I think, 4 or 5 classes. In total, we held 7 classes, and average attendance, we had about 8 to 10 people per class. So our average age was 32, mainly from Mexico. Majority were low income. 73% were less than high school education, 82% uninsured. Out of the 8 classes, we had 50% attend more than 6 classes, and almost 90% attend at least half of the classes. The clinical outcomes, which is all I'm going to be describing today, these were our significant outcomes that we had. We saw a decreasing trend in total cholesterol, triglycerides, LDL, and diastolic blood pressure, and this was just baseline to 3 months. So we saw really, just positive trends with all of this, and so we're excited to see what happens at our 6-month visits. We've had great attendance at our 3-month and our 6-month visits. The women, by the end of these classes, were exchanging phone numbers with one another and really coming together. And so these clinical outcomes are a great attribute to that. When we looked at BMI, glucose, and A1Cs, we actually saw a slight increase in those. And some of those were significant, some of them not so much. But I'll talk a little bit of the reasons why we think that's the case. And again, we just have some preliminary results to date. We had some participant suggestions for future classes. Overall, we had really positive feedback. They really enjoyed the classes. They felt that nutrition was the most valuable component. Common barriers to coming to classes were transportation. Many of them walked the clinic, so any inclement weather, which in San Diego is far and few between, but if it rained, they didn't leave their house. Childcare. Even though we offered activities for the kids, sometimes if they were younger, they weren't ready to quite leave their houses. Cooking classes and recipes were something that we just didn't have the funding to provide, but they really wanted to see that component integrated. And they spoke a lot about the family benefits of the changes that they made for themselves really affected their family, and they were excited to see those changes in their kids. One of my my favorite stories is a woman from our first class we ever held. She, at the six-month visit, she had lost over 35 pounds and had maintained it, and told us that she was so grateful for the classes because before we called her, she had just had her third baby and had gained all this weight, and she was really kind of depressed because, you know, it was overwhelming with all of her responsibilities, and then she came to these classes and learned how to eat well, and you know, instead of just sitting at home watching TV with the kids, she gets up and dances and takes them to the park. And so it was just, it was overwhelming to see her response and see the changes that she had made for herself and for her family. So in looking forward, overall, really well received by the community. The community clinic we partnered with was very happy with it. We're seeing some initial positive trends in our clinical outcomes. In looking at the A1C levels and the glucose and the BMI and weight, I think we need to focus our curriculum a little bit more on that. We touched on them, but there was so much material to cover in 8 weeks that I think that focusing more on weight loss and really making sure that that message resonates with them will make a bigger difference. Also focusing on carbohydrate counting, blood sugars. These women were used to managing their diabetes while they were pregnant, and as soon as they had their kids, it was basically a condition that clinically most people said, oh, it's gone, you're fine, you don't need to worry about it. Another part of it, our population and our sample that was recruited into the study had a wide variety of starting BMIs. So some women came in BMIs of 18 to 19, and some were well over 30. And so I think that that was why it was also difficult to really see a difference and change, because you had such a variety in your population. So focusing really just on the overweight and obese participants, I think will have a big impact. And also having a control group. We didn't have a control group to really look at the natural progression of the disease and comparing it to those who were participating in the intervention. So I think that these things combined moving forward, we'll be able to see some really great pieces of this project. Just want to thank a number of people. So we worked with Neighborhood Healthcare, which was our community clinic up in Escondido, San Diego State University. They're doing the evaluation and data analysis for us, funded by NIH. And this piece of it, Scripps Health, received the Clinical Translational Science Award. And so as part of that community engagement arm is where the funding for this research came. So thanks to everyone. Any questions? Yes.
Your intervention, was it just class-based? I wanted to ask you about physical activity.
Sure.
Physical activity education, or did you guys actually have classes or actual physical activity?
Physical activity we did in every single class. So they did 15 minutes of physical activity during every class. So at the end of a class or the beginning of class, where the promotora felt it was appropriate, they would do either, you know, exercises in a chair. They did things with beach balls. We incorporated the kids into it. So they did it at every class. In addition to that, there were two classes that focused specifically on physical activity, one of which we did a 30-minute walk in the community. And as part of that, we did like a walking checklist and taught them how to kind of assess for safe neighborhoods to walk in. So, and everybody participated in that. So the kids went out, anybody who came to class went out. And so that piece, they actually, what was interesting is when we asked them, you know, they wanted to see more physical activity, but during class, you know, even though we reminded them to wear gym shoes and those types of things, many of them came in all kinds of footwear. But we had physical activities that could basically be done anywhere and incorporated into their lifestyle, you know, using canned foods as weights or beach balls on a tablecloth to get them moving. It's okay.
How did you guys like that? I mean, was it effective for you guys, or
They really liked it. One of the things, there was a CDC like music movimiento, like CD that they used a lot. And so I think the participants really enjoyed dancing to music, because one of our promotoras was really into salsa dancing, and so, you know, she would kind of lead them in that. Oftentimes we have participants who would show them other things that they could do. So people really got engaged in it. I think that in looking forward, I would increase the amount of time because we only did it for 15 minutes. And we provided snacks during the classes as well, but it was very limited. So we did not do, I mean, it was like carrot sticks and cheese sticks and crackers, but it was making sure that we balanced, you know, offering them some type of sustenance with physical activity. So I think in moving forward, our next set of classes should have a greater duration of physical activities during the classes. They were two-hour sessions, so it was usually an hour and a half of education, then 15 minutes of physical activity, and then 15 minutes for everybody to come. Question back.
I know that your intervention is huge on prevention and things like that. Mm-hmm. We have a huge uninsured population. Do you guys do like a moment at the end where you kind of connect them with different options in the community, or is it really geared towards that community and the clinic?
The question was about uninsured and how to address that. So most of them were uninsured. They were all, because we needed access to their medical records, they all were part of the community clinic, but most of them didn't have insurance. So we didn't necessarily address ways to get insurance, but if any of them developed diabetes during their participation in the class, we offered, so Project Dulce itself has discounted, well, we have free community classes that we offer about diabetes education, but we usually link them with the community clinic that had sliding scales for them. The Medicaid office was next door to the Project Dulce office, so it wasn't explicitly described, but it was something that the promotoras worked with them on if they had questions about. Any other questions?
I just have real quick. Sure. Did you say you were going to add a control group
to
now?
We are writing our next version, so yes, it will be included.
Okay, and you're going to follow through. How long are you going to do something where you follow through to see if they actually develop diabetes?
I think it's still under discussion. The only piece of this, they were only followed for 6 months, so it was a really short duration. So I think in our next version of this, we'd want to follow them for longer, basically, to see what happens.
Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
Great. Well, this concludes this session. I want to thank all of our wonderful panelists for joining us this morning, and for all of you for making it out. We know that it was really early, so we really appreciate you for being here.